Thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you very much for the invitation. It's my greatest pleasure to give a talk here at UC Santa Barbara. And today, I'd like to talk about my recent work on this index for non-relativistic supraconformal field theories. First, I'd like to define this index and then study some properties of it. And at the end of this talk, I'd like to give you examples of this computation of this index for a non-relativistic limit of recently proposed M2 brain gate theories, such as ABGM theories and so on. So this talk is based on my recent work, which appeared in the ePrint archive with this number. And part of this talk is also based on my collaboration with Makoto Sakaguchi and Kentaro Yoshida, who is sitting over here. So if you have any questions during my talk, please don't hesitate to ask me at any moment. So first, I'd like to begin with the explanation of what is this index and what is this superconformal field theories and why we are interested in such theories. So let me begin with index. So index is a very important quantity in theoretical physics. And in my viewpoint, index is a kind of a bridge between the mathematics and theoretical physics. And you will encounter the concept of index, well, almost everyday basis. For example, if you want to study the world sheet perturbative string theory, then the first thing you learn is this kind of Gauss-Bonnet theorem, which is the oldest form of the index theorem in mathematics. And this, in physics, this gives you the connection between the world sheet Riemann's expansion of Riemann surfaces and string perturbative expansions. And also, if you would like to learn something about zero modes of certain differential operators on Riemann surfaces, such as ghost zero modes, and then you have to understand this Riemann-Roch theorem, which is another kind of index theorem. And if you go to the gate theory, then the Atiyah-Singer theorem is it's the most important theorem, index theorem, which gives you the connection, which gives you the understanding of this anomaly in Jahn-Miller's theory, and it will give you the fermion zero mode counting of under the instanton backgrounds. And it has an application to flux compactifications and non-perturbative generations of superpotentials from the deep brain instanton backgrounds and so on. But to me, the most successful kinds of this index was given by Witten, so-called Witten's index. And Witten index has a very elegant formulation like this, just a trace over the total Hilbert space with fermion number grading, or in other words, we take the super trace of the total Hilbert space. And this Witten index actually gives you a unification of all the mathematical index theorem described so far. For example, if you evaluate this with the index by using path integral for the nonlinear sigma model, supersymmetric nonlinear sigma models, and then you can understand or derive, even derive, all these mathematical indexes. And this index is also important in applications, and this index actually a very robust quantity and invariant under the small perturbation or continuous deformations of the theory. And then because of this invariance under the continuous parameters, then you can use this index as a first check of any proposed dualities, including, well, example, in the area safety correspondences, the first thing you can do is to check the equivalence of this index from the gate theory side and the gravity side. And also this works in the case of the microstate counting of black holes because the this index like stuff does not depend on the continuous parameter like string coupling constant, and then you can compare the two different regimes of this computation without any corrections from such a string coupling constant or any moduli of the theories. And what I'd like to do today is, and I'd like to ask today is the following question. Can we do better than Witten index? I mean, Witten, well, index in general is a very important quantity in theoretical physics, and I'd like to define, well, another example of index-like object in theoretical physics or in a given super algebras. And the answer to this question is actually yes. We can define more index-like objects in Suji algebras, And one example of which is given by the supraconformal index, and defined for the relativistic supraconformal field theories. And this supraconformal index for relativistic theories has been studied by these authors, including myself. But today, I'd like to focus on another example, yet another example of this index in theoretical physics, which is given by the index for the non-relativistic supraconformal field theories. And during this talk, I'd like to also answer the question, what is the condition to define such an index-like object in given Suzy algebras? There is a criterion or condition in order to define such an index in a given Suzy algebra, and there should be some properties of particular properties of this Suzy algebra which allows you the definition of the index. But before going into the definition of this index, I'd like to say a few words about the motivations to study this kind of non-relativistic supraconformal field theories or non-relativistic conformal field theories. So, well, what I mean by non-relativistic is, of course, we replace Lorentz invariance by Galilean invariance. And under the Galilean transformation, time is not changed, but under the Galilean boost, time is not changed, unlike this Lorentzian boost. But more important point in this non-relativistic system or non-relativistic conformal field theory is that the scale invariance actually appears even in massive theories. So this should be contrasted with a relativistic case where we have a scale invariance only in the massless or the theories without mass gap. But in the non-relativistic case, scale invariance also appears in the massive theories. And to see this, let us take a simple example, simplest examples of non-relativistic superconformal or conformal invariant equations known as the Schrödinger equation. And Schrödinger equation is actually scale invariant. So if you look at the Schrödinger equations, if you assign dilatation charge 2 to time derivative, and dilatation charge 1 to the spatial derivative, then this Schrödinger equation is obviously invariant under the scale transformation. And you can also show that, well, as I'd like to see later, this is also invariant under the conformal transformation. But Schrödinger equation describes a system with finite mass. So the scale invariance in the non-relativistic system appears in the massive theory. So there's a new way to study these massive theories by studying the conformal algebras in non-relativistic systems. And this kind of non-relativistic superconformal field theories also appears in the string theory or M theory. So for example, if one take the discrete light cone quantization of the N equal 4 by Jamil's theory, then the resultant theory is given by the 1 plus 2 dimensional non-relativistic supraconformal field theories, and even the dual gravity descriptions of this DLCQ of N equal 4 Jamil's theory has been proposed quite recently by several groups independently. And another interesting way to construct such a non-relativistic superconformal field theories from string theory or M theory is to study the non-relativistic limit of Chan-Simons matter theories. And this will give you a 1 plus 2 dimension non-relativistic superconformal field theories. And this Chan-Simons matter theory has attracted a lot of attention quite recently in the context of the gate theory describing coinciding M2 brains. So, and in this talk later, I'd like to compute the index for such a non-relativistic limit of Chan-Simons matter theory. So this is an example of such non-relativistic superconformal field theories I'd like to investigate today. So let me now move on to the definition of this index. So, but before going into the definition of this index, I'd like to define today, I'd like to begin with usual Witten index as a warm-up. So Witten index is defined for the supersymmetric quantum mechanics or, supersymmetric field theories in general. then the retained index captures the vacuum structures of the supersymmetric quantum mechanics or supersymmetric quantum field theories you are considering. So the definition is very simple. As I mentioned before and showed you before, then it is just a trace over the total Hilbert space with fermion number gradient. And we introduced some formal Boltzmann factor here, but important point is that in this Boltzmann factor, we have introduced Hamiltonian H, which is given by the anti-commutator of Suji charge of the super quantum mechanics. And because of this relation between the Hamiltonian and Suji charges, then if you would like to compute this index, it shows a both Fermi cancellation for non-zero energy state. So if you consider the non-zero energy states, every state are paired between bosonic states and fermionic states and don't contribute to this index. And as you know, that only the vacuum states or zero energy state will contribute to this index, retained index. And this retained index captures the structure, vacuum structures of the theory in this way. And this retained index has a lot of applications. For example, one can study the vacuum structures of the theory. Well, this is obvious from the definition, but because it is invariant under the small perturbations of the theory, so it will give you some implications of dynamical Suji breaking. Or if you compute this index for the nonlinear simulators, you can derive index, mathematical index theorem, as I described before. So now let me move on to the superconformal index, especially non-relativistic version of the superconformal algebras. And here I'd like to show you the superconformal algebra, non-relativistic system. And bosonic part of the Suji superconformal algebra, non-relativistic superconformal algebra, is a symmetry of the Schrödinger equation. So let us take a look at this Schrödinger equation. Actually, this is not a Schrödinger equation because I'm missing I here, so it's actually a diffusion equation, but well, it's just a big rotation. So let us consider the symmetry of this Schrödinger equations, and it has some obvious invariance under the Galilean transformation, such as this equation is invariant under the Hamiltonian, invariant under the momentum transformation, and it is invariant under the Galilean boost G, and invariant under the angular momentum J, and it is also invariant under the mass operator M. So the commutation relations of this Galilean algebra can be easily computed like this. And furthermore, this Schrödinger equation, as I said earlier, is invariant under the scale transformation or dilatation. So we have a dilatation operator, which is the conserved charge of this system, and whose commutation relation can be computed like this. But the important point here is that the charge of the dilatation. So unlike the relativistic case, the dilatation charge for the momentum is 1, while the dilatation charge of this Hamiltonian is 2. Well, this is essentially because the dispersion relation of the non-relativistic system is H equals P squared, not H equals to P, like the relativistic case. So we have different weight, scaling weight for the momentum and Hamiltonian. And finally, this Schrödinger equation is invariant under a so-called special conformal transformation. It is generated by K, and commutation relations of K and other generators can be computed like this. So this is the symmetry of the Schrödinger equations, and this special conformal transformation was discovered much later than Schrödinger presented his equations, and I guess in 1960s or something like that. And then you can add some fermionic generators to complete the superconformal algebra. So let me show you the anti-commutation relations of Suji charges. And we have three types of Suji charges, but these two Suji charges, Q1 and Q2, gives you the usual Suji algebras. For example, the anti-commutator of Q1 and Q1 starts gives you mass operators, and Q2, and Q2 star gives you Hamiltonian, and Q1 and Q2 gives you momentum, and so on and so on. And the difference between Q1 and Q2 is actually coming from the non-relativistic nature of the theory. And this Q1 and Q2 has all spin 1/2 from these commutation relations. And by the way, I am always interested in 1 plus 2 dimensional non-relativistic superconformal algebras and superconformal field theories. So I'm assuming that J is even by U1 rotation around 1, 2 plane or something like that, because we have a spatial direction is only 2 dimensions here. And so the dilatation charge of Q1 is 0, while the dilatation charge of Q2 is 1 from these commutation relations. And furthermore, we have superconformal generators whose commutation relations can be computed like this. But the most important anti-commutation relation is this one, which will be crucial to define this index later in my talk. And so this is the commutation relations.
Can you tell us what R is?
Sorry? We have, R is a R charge of this operator. We have to introduce R charge in order to complete these superconformal algebras like relativistic case. In relativistic case, in four dimensions, we have to add R symmetries in order to complete these superconformal algebras. And similarly, in this non-relativistic superconformal algebras, we have to add R symmetries. And then this is R charge. You want R charge, yes.
Sorry, I missed some basic.
Yes.
M is a mass. Is that
mass, yeah.
But that's a parameter of the
Schwing ring. Yes, actually, M is the center of the all the algebra, so it does not appear in the M commutes with everything.
Yeah.
So you can think of it as just a number, or just like central charge of the GFT in relativistic, just the center.
So what is G?
So G is the Galilean boost. Galilean boost is a non-relativistic version of the Lorentz boost and the kind of zero I component of the rotation or something like that. And so now I'd like to move on to the very important quantities or very important properties of this non-relativistic Suzy algebras, which enables us to define a second index of this theory. So the very important key point of this algebra is that this algebra admits two different ways to define this conjugation. Or in mathematical languages, there are two different involutive anti-automorphisms of this algebra. And this is very particular to this non-relativistic Suzy algebras. And because of these properties, one can define non-trivial index than this just a usual Witte index. And so what is this? Two different ways to define the conjugations in this non-relativistic Suzy algebra. One way to define this conjugation is to use the usual quantum mechanical conjugation, known as the Dirac conjugation, just the Hermitian conjugation of this operator. And under this conjugation, the non-relativistic Suzy algebra is invariant in some sense. So under this Dirac usual conjugation, then, for example, Hamiltonian is self-conjugate, dilatation is self-conjugate, U1 angular momentum is self-conjugate, momentum is self-conjugate, and so on and so on. So this is the usual conjugation properties of these algebras, which obviously is a anti-automorphism of these algebras. But this theory admits second way to define this conjugation, which is given by the conformal conjugation or BPG conjugation in some sense. And under this second conjugation, for example, the Galilean boost is conjugated to momentum, and Hamiltonian is conjugated to special conformal transformation, and second Suzy charge is conjugated to superconformal transformations, and so on and so on. So this is a very non-trivial conjugation properties of this algebra.
But for the relativistic conformal symmetry, I mean, there's two natural conjugations.
Right,
there's sort of global time and there's radial time.
Radial time, right.
So the second one doesn't look exactly like radial time because under that, I think P conjugates to K. So
right.
So this is not, so is there an interpretation to this formal conjugation?
In some sense, yes, but well, certainly there is no such a radial quantization scheme in this non-relativistic sense.
Yeah.
But well, if you use some trick, and then if you define a say operator state mapping from this non-relativistic
system,
yeah, you can do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can I understand that comment, that this, these two conjugations in the relativistic conformal group, is that a statement about the Euclidean conformal group, or is it also true that we're in here? In terms of invalidative automorphisms on the algebra?
Yeah, I can't tell you. I mean, you certainly
use it
in the Euclidean case, so
Oh yeah. If you would like to use this operator state mapping, then you have to go to the Euclidean space. But the algebra is first defined for the Lorentzian case,
right.
or
So in this case, you're only getting two things that live on the Lorentzian algebra.
Yes, this is defined for the Lorentzian algebra, and
that seems like a difference from.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so these different conjugation properties will give you a different way to define inner product. So inner product usually defined like this, but in order to define this inner product, you have to say something about the conjugation of the operator acting on the kth state. And these different ways to define conjugation will give you a different way to define this inner product. And as a consequence, these two different conjugations will give you a different way to define the index, because index needs a trace or the Hilbert space. And this depends on this choice. So, well, as asked by Joe, I have to say something about the relation between these two conjugations. And two conjugations, well, are related by two different ways, but equivalent ways to quantize these systems. And similar thing happens in the relativistic CFTs. And, well, so I don't have to say something now because Joe asked me, but let me say, and similar thing happens in 2D relativistic CFT on plane, and well, there are two different ways to quantize, but equivalent way to quantize the 2D relativistic CFT on plane. One way to do is to use the quantization with respect to time in, say, y direction. And if you regard this direction as a time, then under this time Hamiltonian, then the conjugation properties of the momentum operator, which is a generator along this vertical line, is self-conjugate. And the special conformal transformation is also self-conjugate under this relativistic conformal field theory on a plane. But there is a second way to quantize this system by using the radial quantization or radial Hamiltonians. And if you use radial Hamiltonians, then you can map these systems to the cylinder, and then under this mapping, conformal mapping, the momentum operator is given by the Virasoro generator L minus 1, and special conformal transformation is given by L plus 1. So under this quantization scheme, the conjugation of P is given by K. So in this way, in 2D relativistic CFT, you can define two different ways to give you the two different ways to define a conjugation, but of course, the theory is, well, after quantization, theory should be equivalent. But here, here we have a state operator mapping, but this is, we do not have such a state operator mapping here, but we have a mapping between the operator and state in here. And similar thing happens in the relativistic CFTs, and if you use this kind of second way to quantize the system or second way to define the conjugation, the state which I'm talking about is actually given by the operator of the theory.
These two ways are conjugate to each other under a conformal transformation. So you could use the usual conjugation, but add some additional operators into the thing you're calling the index, can't you?
This case?
Can you think in terms of just one conjugation, but somehow mm-hmm. taking an index that has some additional.
Oh, if you introduce some symmetry algebras, you mean there should be some relation between this index for this and index for that?
Yeah.
No, I haven't thought about it, but
yeah.
Yeah, there, uh, yeah, I think, yeah, in this case, if you have some, well, it's not a finite transformation, but it's not infinitesimal transformation, but if you introduce some finite transformations, then there should be some mapping between the, yeah, Brian Ket state and so some, yeah, I think you can do that. But yeah, non-relativistic case, I don't know, because there is no such transformations here. So let me define this index finally. So two different conjugation I have shown you gives you two different ways to define this index. And first one is usually index, the index, which is given by the index coming from this Dirac conjugation, the usual quantum mechanical conjugation. And under this Dirac conjugation, then we have this definition of this with the index. And the important point is that this formal Boltzmann factor is given by Hamiltonian, which is the anti-commutator of second 3D charge and its conjugation. But this conjugation, Dirac conjugation of this second 3D charge is just Q2. So from this algebra, we have a Hamiltonian appearing here. And because of this Hamiltonian factor, and this first with the index gives you the counting of vacuum states of the theory, or zero energy states only contribute to this index. But now one can use the second index, a second involutive anti-automorphism, or second conjugation. Then this will give you an interesting new index, which is particular to this non-relativistic super-conformal field theories. Now, the definition is something very similar to above, but trace is actually different. And then the more important point is that the Boltzmann factor, delta, is given by the anti-commutator of second 3D charge and its conjugation. But its conjugation now is different from this Q2, but special conformal superconformal transformation S. So from the algebra, it is given like this. And this index only comes from, again, because of the Bose-Fermi cancellation, this index has a contribution only from the delta equals zero BPS states or BPS operators by state operator mapping. So this index counts actually as BPS operators of the theory. But these BPS operators, as I'd like to see you later, there are infinitely many BPS operators. So in order to distinguish all these infinitely many BPS operators, we have introduced chemical potential, which is charged under a particular combination of conserved charge. And this conserved charge is determined so that this will commute with the second 3D charge used in the definition of this delta.
So I'm very stupid. So why is a Boltzmann factor e to the beta something? This something should be Q2 and its conjugate.
Well, there is.
I assume why this is a good way to define
in the end, this does not depend on beta, so there is no need to introduce such a thing.
No, my question is why H is Q2 and
its
conjugate?
This comes from the algebra itself, so.
That's why H is Q2 and its conjugate.
I think the point is that if you was in for any H of that form, you could use a supersymmetry algebra to prove that this is an index. Those are the ingredients in showing that this is index independent of beta. You need something that's the trace of minus 1 to the F.
Right.
Minus something which is an anti-commutator of a supercharge and its conjugate.
Yeah.
And then if you do that with one definition of the Hilbert space, you get the top thing. The other definition, you get the bottom.
And if you have a second way to define this conjugation, then
you the two different ways of quantizing. That's why two different ways of defining Hamiltonian.
Yeah. This is usual Hamiltonian, but this is a in some sense global Hamiltonian, something related. But this case it comes from the algebra.
So if I understand, you say that this is using the new definition of trace in the bottom.
Right, right.
So, but it's you want to think of these as operators on the same linear vector space.
Not same linear vector space, because.
Well, you're not going to have the same space of states in the theory.
Right. Yeah. I'm not claiming that this trace is defined on the same set of Hilbert space.
Then where do you compute the new trace? Maybe you'll show us an application, but I don't understand what you want to use it for. It's not defined on the same space of states.
Oh, but this gives you a counting of this vacuum of the theory, but this gives you a counting of BPS operators of the theory, like.
This is something that's property only of the.
Is it true that they would coincide if they are defined on the same vector space? Because you say.
Well, we cannot define the same thing on the same Hilbert space because, well.
What space of states is the trace over?
This one or that one? Or
the bottom one.
The bottom one is acting on the Hilbert space, which is. Characterized by the operator. Well, you can use operator state mapping here to define state in
I
terms
see. Okay,
of
so
operators.
It's all
it acts on all the operators of the theory.
I see what you're saying. There's a new notion of vacuum that comes with this new story. You define an operator state mapping, you construct a new Hilbert space, you trace over everything that characterizes.
And so I'd like to emphasize, the key criterion to define this new index is the existence of this new kind of involutive anti-automorphism, and this is what is very particular to this non-relativistic Suzy algebra. Of course, relativistic Suzy algebra has these properties as well, so you can define superconformal index for relativistic CFTs, and this you can do this for this non-relativistic superconformal field theories, but so you have to find such conjugations in order to find any non-trivial index than with the index.
Question?
Yes.
Does x to the r minus 2j commute with delta?
R minus 2j commutes with q2. So this means that r minus 2j commutes with delta. Yeah. So let me show you a summary of this representation of this non-relativistic superconformal algebra quickly. And actually, there are four types of representations in this non-relativistic superconformal algebras. And only the vacuum representation and chiral representation, which are annihilated by this second Suzy charge Q2, will give you the contributions to this index. Other representations doesn't give you a contributions to this index. And let me say a few words about these properties, the properties of this index. So, as I said before, because of the Bose-Fermi cancellation, this index does not depend on the formal Boltzmann temperature beta, and this index is protected by under any exactly masked deformations of the non-relativistic superconformal algebras. And you can see that because only what happens under this exactly marginal deformation is that two chiral multiplets combine into one long multiplet, or one long multiplet decays into two chiral multiplets. But this under this branching rule, the index does not change. So one fermionic chiral multiplet and one bosonic chiral multiplet will combine into the long multiplet, so this does not change the index. So this index is invariant under the exactly marginal deformations. And delta equals zero state will contribute to this index, but there are actually infinitely many delta equals zero states with a given theory. So this index knows a lot about the structure of the non-relativistic superconformal field theories than just a usual Witten index, which just counts the number of vacuum, which is, in any case, just finite number. So this index gives you a lot of information. And finally, as I said several times, this index is independent of the exactly marginal deformations, so you can use it a kind of a check of any proposed dualities associated with this non-relativistic superconformal algebra.
Excuse me. Yes. So you said in the relativistic case, we have two ways to conjugate based on these two quantizations.
Right.
And that's not just in two dimensions, but I guess in any dimension you can.
Any dimension, you can do that.
So is there an analog of the second index which counts BPS states in the relativistic case?
Yes. Yeah.
And is this the non-relativistic limit of that in some sense?
No, I'd like to say a few words about the non-relativistic limit of the relativistic CFT later, but Yeah, you can define that index counting relativistic counting BBS operators in relativistic systems. But I don't know at this point there is any relation between the index for such relativistic CFTs and index for the non-relativistic limit of such theories, because of the reason I'd like to explain later. But the point is that you cannot take non-relativistic limit of relativistic CFT. Because...
unless you introduce
scaling. Right. So what I mean is that, well, in relativistic CFT, everything travels at the speed of light.
Yes.
So there is no non-relativistic limit. So we have to first add some mass term or some confinement or anything like that to introduce some mass scale. So it's not so clear whether the relation, whether there is a relation between the relativistic superconformal algebra or relativistic superconformal systems and non-relativistic systems.
But I mean, usually the way you go from the relativistic theory to non-relativistic is you do one of these discrete Lakeman quantizations at finite number density. And so, conceivably, you could at least look at the relativistic type, one and do the DLQC and see what you get.
Oh, yeah, this type of reduction is another way to obtain a relativistic, a non-relativistic CFT from the relativistic CFT one dimensional higher. In that case, there should be some relation between the indexes, but I don't know, because it is quite difficult to compute the index for discrete light quantized EMU theory. So
you say that there is a relativistic version of the second index.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Well, it's called superconformal index.
Okay.
I don't know. Superconformal index was first in the relativistic case was first discovered by Rommelsberger, but he made a wrong claim about the nature. And then after that, Hini, Maritasena, and Miwara and Raju gave a complete study of this relativistic superconformal index. It's quite recently, I guess, 2004 or something. So now let me compute the examples of index for such non-relativistic conformal field theories. And the prototypical model I'd like to compute, I'd like to study there is the Abelian Chan-Simons matter theory. And this is a non-relativistic Chan-Simons matter theories, so we have this Chan-Simons Lagrangian written in the non-relativistic coordinate, and we have bosonic degrees of freedom phi and Feriminic degrees of freedom psi, and this is a Schrodinger time derivative part and kinetic part, and then we have some phi force and phi quadratic interaction between boson and fermions like this. And the constructions of this non-relativistic system comes from the relativistic Chan-Simons matter theories. And we begin with n equal 2 supersymmetric massive relativistic Chan-Simons matter theories, and then we take the non-relativistic limit to get to these non-relativistic actions. And the way to take non-relativistic limit is like this. So we begin with this massive Klein-Gordon equations in a relativistic form like this. And then we decompose this relativistic scalar into the non-relativistic scalar and rest energy oscillating part like this. And, relativistic scalar contains two non-relativistic degrees of freedom, particle degrees of freedom and anti-particle degrees of freedom. But we only keep the particle degrees of freedom, and we drop out this anti-particle degrees of freedom. And then this Klein-Gordon equation reduces to a Schrodinger equation. And in the action form, you have obtained this kind of stuff. And similar thing can be done for the fermion as well, which is a little bit more complicated. But in the end, the non-relativistic limit of the Chan-Simons matter theory gives you this non-relativistic Chan-Simons matter theory. Yes, this is a conformal invariant under this non-relativistically conformal invariant. Although this has mass term, it's not mass term, but there is a finite mass, but this theory is conformally invariant under the charge irradiation charge phi 1 and psi 1 or something like that.
It's the same as Schrödinger method.
Yes, yes. And this coupling constant is actually a marginal, exactly marginal deformation of the system. But let me say a few words about this construction, and as I asked several times during this talk. So there is no direct relation between, I'd like to emphasize that there is no direct relation between the relativistic superconformal field theories, example in this case in 1 plus 2 dimensions, and non-relativistic superconformal field theories in the same 1 plus 2 dimensions. Well, this sounds counterintuitive at first, but if you think a little bit, this is rather trivial, because you cannot take non-relativistic limit for particles, or I should say unparticles, which travel at the speed of light. So we have to introduce some mass scale or mass term or in confinement or anything like that, mass gap, to take non-relativistic limit from the beginning. But there is a relation between the non-relativistic conformal field theories and the relativistic CFT one dimension higher. So this is can be seen as the group theoretical fact that this non-relativistic or non-relativistic conformal algebra in 1 plus 2 dimension is a subgroup of SO2, 4, which is nothing but the 1 plus 3 dimensional relativistic conformal algebra. So we can embed the Schrödinger algebra into this one dimensional higher relativistic conformal algebra. And this was the starting point of the ADS non-relativistic CFT correspondence. And this has been studied listening to literatures, and then in order to describe non-relativistic conformal field theories from the ADS viewpoint, you have to add two extra dimensions. One is needed, the 1 plus 3 dimensional relativistic system is due to the 5 dimensional ADS space, and then you can take the subgroup of this system by breaking the symmetries of the system, so we need two extra dimensions. So this is the consequence. 1 plus 2 dimensional relativistic CFT may be dual to the 5 dimensional gravity theories with light cone quantization, with light cone compactification. And this, the example of which is the discrete light cone quantization of n equal 4 by the Yamilis theorem. But today I'd like to focus on the more conventional Chan-Simons matter theories, directly realized as a Lagrangian description of this 1 plus 2 dimensional system. And this Chan-Simons matter theory has a lot of applications. And one application in string theory viewpoint is the usual, recent M2 brain revolutions. So you can consider the M2 brain action, which will give you Chan-Simons matter theories. And then you can now add mass terms. And this can be done from the string theory viewpoint or M theory viewpoint by adding background four-form flux. And if you introduce four-form background flux, then the K theory becomes massive. Or in other words, the moduli is stabilized because of this background flux. And then you can hopefully take the non-relativistic limit of this M2 brain K theories, and which the gravity side should correspond to some kind of Penrose limit, like a contraction limit of this algebra. So I hope that this kind of M2 brain non-relativistic Chan-Simons matter theory and its duality to gravity give you some new arena for solvable string theory or gauge gravity correspondence. Because I'd like to say that the non-relativistic system, at least in the gauge theory sector, is much easier. And you can show the vanishing of the beta function quite easily, and there is no, the loop structure is actually quite easy, quite much easier in the non-relativistic system. And another interesting application is the condensed matter physics. So this Chan-Simons matter theory has famous applications to quantum Hall effect. And this Chan-Simons matter theory in non-relativistic system is used as an effective field theory descriptions of anion. And this anion description of this quantum Hall effect is a theoretical basis of quantum Hall effect, and you can use this kind of Chan-Simons matter theories to understand some deep condensed matter physics. So let me now compute this index for this Abelian Chan-Simons matter theories. And first, I'd like to say that this theory is conformally invariant, and one can check that beta function vanishes to all orders in perturbation theory. Actually, this is not a difficult way to see this, but yeah, because of this non-relativistic nature. But yeah. And one can define Tsuji generators for this. And furthermore, this index does not depend on exact imaginary deformations of the theory. So in order to compute this index, one can just take zero coupling limits, and which will give you just a free field of theories. And so the computation of index boils down to the counting of all the BPS operators or BPS states of these systems in the zero coupling limit. So you can just count all these BPS operators of the theories, and I've shown you the list of the operators that will contribute to this index, which means that all these operators are BPS, and then and because of this BPS nature, and then the multiple of this phi and psi star will give you another BPS operators, and so on and so on. So the definition of this index is like this, and we have to count all the BPS operators, or in other words, we have to count all the gauge invariant delta equals zero state operators. And there are, well, the brute force way to do this is to just count all these operators one by one, but there are more efficient way to count these operators by using the matrix model technique. And I don't think I have much time to say about this computation, but the point is that we integrate over the gauge orbit, or U1 holonomy. Here, I'm considering the U1 gauge theory, so we integrate over the U1 holonomy of this theory. And if you integrate over the U1 holonomy, and non-gauge invariant operators will vanish because it is charged under this U1, and if you integrate over the U1 gauge orbit, then this will give you zero contributions, and only the singlet state will contribute after integrating over the U1 holonomy. So by using this technique, then you can compute this index by integral over this single particle index with U1 holonomy, and then the resultant number is something like this. I don't know whether it is interesting or not, but let me move on to the computation of the index for the ABJM models. So more non-trivial example is the non-relativistic limit of the ABJM theories. And ABJM theory is a M2 brain gauge theories which probe the C4 over ZK orbifold. So here's the parameter K appearing in the definition of this ABJM models, which corresponds to the level of the Chan-Simons actions of these ABJM models. And now one can introduce mass term to these ABJM models. From the string theory viewpoint, we just add background four-form flux, and this mass deformation is maximally supersymmetric, so supersymmetry is preserved, and then you can take non-relativistic limit. And the gauge group of this ABJM model is a quiver gauge theories, and gauge group is given by UN cross UN, and the matter content is given by bifundamental representations. An interesting point is that there are several different ways to take non-relativistic limits, because, as I said, we can choose particle or antiparticle, which is left under this non-relativistic limit. So there are many different ways to define this non-relativistic limit for given relativistic theories with mass deformations. And as far as I know, the most supersymmetric way to obtain this non-relativistic limit gives you the 14 supercharges. Actually, my notation is confusing because I said n equals 6 here, but this means that we have 12 supercharges in component here, and we have 14 component Tsuji here.
This is mass deformation, doesn't break Tsuji at all.
Doesn't Tsuji at all, but it breaks super conformal. Relativistic super conformal invariance is lost, so
So after the mass deformation, how many supercharges you have?
So originally, ABJ model has 12 supercharge and 12 superconformal charge. So in total, 24 supercharges are there. And after mass deformation, 12 is lost, and you only have 12 suji in the massive deformed, massive deformed relativistic ABJ models. And then if you take non-relativistic limit, then extra two non-relativistic superconformal charge appears. So in the end, we have 14 supercharges here. But today's talk, well, I'm only interested in this. Well, again, my notation is confusing, but M equals 2 subalgebra I have shown you at the beginning of the talk, and I'd like to focus on these subalgebras, and I don't want to talk about all the N equals 14 Suji algebras, which this is under investigation with Sakaguchi-san and Yoshida-san.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Just see the notation tree. Your n equals 2 non-relativistic superconformal algebra is 2q2s, 2q1s, and 2s's?
Right. Yeah. In component 6.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry for the confusing notation. So now I'd like to compute the index for non-relativistic ABJ models. And we take, for this purpose, we take large n and large k limits. And index does depend on the rank of the gauge group. But if you take the large n limit, then the k dependence must vanish because k is actually integer parameter, but if you take the Hooft limit, then the expansion parameter is given by if you fix the Hooft coupling, then the k dependence will become essentially a continuous parameter. So this does not give you, this will give you a continuous deformation, and then index does not depend on k if you take large n limit. And counting gauge invariant BPS states in these ABJ models, or generally this kind of Cuiper gauge theory, reduces to a matrix integral. And this technique to count BPS states in Cuiper-like gauge theories was first discussed by Sundborg, 2002 or something like that. And this has been used in the case of the relativistic CFTs by Kinney, Maldacena, Minwala Raju, and by myself.
So, the large n limit?
Yes.
If k is finite, then k dependence is there for the index, right? Because k changes discretely.
K changes discretely, and n changes discretely.
Change, right?
Right.
Only is n infinity, k infinity, fixing n over k ratio changing continuously, index doesn't depend.
Right. So this is the effective way to compute this index. And again, the trick is similar as before, and we integrate over all the gauge orbit, or UN holonomies. And then if you integrate over all the gauge orbit, then only the gauge invariant states will contribute to this index and contribute to this computation of this index. And then effective action describing for this matrix integral is given like this. Here U1 is the UN cross UN matrix for the first gauge group, and this U2 is a UN cross UN matrix for the second gauge group. So this, there are several ways to see the origin of this matrix integral. And one way is, as I said before, mathematically this integration of the UN holonomy, UN holonomy or UN gauge orbit is a way to pick up the singlet states. But physically you can see this kind of matrix integral as a one-loop computation of the definition of this index. And then, if you'd like to compute this index by path integral, then all the massive modes in the definition of this index will vanish because of the Bose-Fermi cancellation, and only the zero mode will contribute to this computation of this index. And in this case, only the zero mode appearing in this one-loop partition function of the cylinder is given by the Polyakov loop, and this is the origin of the UN cross UN matrix integral. Anyway, So this is the matrix way to compute this index. And interestingly, this index is this form of this index is exact for any finite n. But this integration can be only possible explicitly in the large n limits by using subtle point approximation. And then if you did a large n subtle point approximation of this matrix integral, the result of this index for the ABGA model is something like this. So unlike the U1 case, you can explicitly perform this integral, and then the result is given by the infinite product like this. And if you expand this infinite product, then you have numerical series. And you can compare this with the naive expansion of this index by counting DP states, and of course you can see the agreement with these naive computations. And I don't know whether this number is important or interesting in number theories. Maybe this has been some elegant way to interpret it. Maybe this has interesting modular properties and so on. This is quite suggestive because there is no integration whatsoever, so there might be a possibility to derive these kind of stuff from the gravity side, and which was the case for the relativistic index. In the relativistic index, we can compute it either from this gay theory side, like this kind of infinite product, and you can do the same computation from the gravity side, and they show the agreement with each other. So one day I'd like to compute this kind of stuff from the gravity side and then see whether this agrees with gay theory computation done here.
Sorry, I missed one thing. Yes. This infinite product is the exact answer, or that's the answer from the subtle point approximation?
Oh, this is, in the large n limits, subtle point approximation is exact.
Yes, so this is the answer from the large n limit.
For large n, this is the exact answer. But for finite n, there is some corrections. But it's not a perturbative correction, perturbative 1 by n correction, but a non-perturbative corrections, like exponential x to the n or something, 2n or n. But this formula is exact, so you can compute this matrix integral for given. In principle, you can compute it for finite n from this matrix integral. And you can study the finite n corrections from this. So let me say a few words about the discussion and further directions of these studies and conclude this talk. So the one thing I'd like to do further in this direction is to find more examples of these non-relativistic superconformal field theories. And especially I'm interested in what is the maximal non-relativistic superconformal algebra, say in 1 plus 2 dimensions. And as I said before, the non-relativistic limit of ABGM model has 14 supersymmetries, 14 Suzy charges. And as far as I know, the maximal non-relativistic superconformal algebra I know has 24 supercharges. But there is no examples of such theories. There is no constructive way to give a theory which has all. Of course, you can do this by a free field theory, but I mean non-trivial field theories. But we don't know what is the classification of non-relativistic superconformal algebras from the beginning, so it's not so clear whether this is the maximal one or not. And in the relativistic case, things were much easier. And for example, in the four dimension, there are only three possibilities, n equal 4, n equal 2, and n equal 1, and that's it. But in non-relativistic case, I don't know whether there is such a classification. And as far as I know, there are many, many examples. 14 Suzy charges, 8 Suzy charges, 6 Suzy charges, 16 Suzy charges, or something like that. And so I think it would be interesting to find some classifications of such a non-relativistic Suzy algebra. And this is related to the lack of the Kolmogorov-Majura theorem in non-relativistic systems. In relativistic systems, Kolmogorov-Majura theorem gives a tight constraint on the possible algebras, but well, as far as I know, there is no such a definite theorem, Kolmogorov-Majura theorem, or its asymmetric extension. So in principle, there are many, many possibilities.
There's two kinds of Susies, right? There's kind of kinematic and dynamic. Or,
right.
So, I mean, there might be a limit to what it is. Are they both unlimited?
As far as I know, in my opinion, so in this theory, we have shown you Susie charges Q1 and Q2, and Q1 is kind of kinematical one, and Q2 is a dynamical one, and you can construct the theory which allows a lot of Q1, but it is more difficult to find a theory that has many Q2. So, in my opinion, the Q1 might not be restricted from the Susie algebra, but yeah, Q2 might be restricted because it's really difficult to find theory with many Q2s. So one thing I'd like to study is this kind of stuff is the n equal h back and lambda theories, and there is some problem with Majorana fermions because and Majorana fermion or real scalar mixes up with particle degrees of freedom and anti-particle degrees of freedom, so it's not so trivial to take the non-relativistic limit. So as far as I studied, then you can obtain n equals 16 non-relativistic super-conformal algebras from this Baker-Lambda theory, but I don't know whether you can do much more than this 16 Suji and whether you could obtain the maximal 24 Suji from this Baker-Lambda stuff or not. And another direction would be the ADS non-relativistic CFT, and this is an obvious interesting way to study further. And for example, the question is, can we compute index, non-relativistic index for discrete light cone quantization of n equal 4 by Jahn-Miller theory, either from gay theory side or gravity side, whose type 2b solution is at least known. So we have to do some KK decomposition of Sugra fields around this background, and then we maybe compute the index for the discrete light cone quantized n equal forces by Jahn-Miller theory, and hopefully we can compare it with gay theory side and whether this proposed duality works or not. And another interesting open question would be to find out what is the geometry describing this non-relativistic limit of M2 brain backgrounds, or and what is this non-relativistic limit in the string theory or gravity side? And it would be very interesting to find out such a gravitational dual and compute the index and compare with the gravity K-theory computation. And of course, we can expect a lot of applications in this kind of non-relativistic superconformal field theories in condensed matter physics, such as the quantum Hall effect. And with this regard, I'd like to end this talk by making a bold conjecture about the wave function of the universe. So my conjecture is that wave function of the universe at some particular corner of the string landscape is given by Laughlin's wave function, which describes the quantum Hall effect. So I said there is some duality between the non-relativistic M2 brain gauge theories, Chan-Simons matter theories, and some ADS CFT or its deformations. So it is conceivable that this kind of universe admits a wave function, which is described by this form. And this wave function was proposed by Laughlin to describe the quantum Hall effect, and he got his Nobel Prize for this wave function. And then, so let me study some properties of these wave functions. So this wave function is proposed for the Abelian Chan-Simons theories. So we have to take n equal 1, gauge rank to be 1, and this means that this wave function, but anyway, describes a very strongly coupled universe. And this another number, k, corresponding to the Chan-Simons level, corresponding from the condensed matter theory viewpoint, it describes the fraction of lambda level. And then For example, at k equals 0, this wave function is nothing but a wave function of free fermion, which is very simple. And for non-zero k, it describes the wave function for fractional statistics, or anyon degrees of freedom. So large k limit corresponds to some, well, some semi-classical universe, which is given by the fractional statistics, degrees of freedom. And so in this way, so string theory can learn something about condensed matter physics or quantum Hall effect by studying this M2 brain, non-relativistic limit of the M2 brain's systems or gauge gravity correspondence or ADS-CFT duality. And similarly, somehow condensed matter theorists know the wave function of the universe by studying this Laplace's wave function. But for now, let me stop here and thank you very much.
About
Oh, gravity side computation. Yeah, and in the relativistic case, well, and this Marga Senard and collaborators and I did in the case of Obiford, you can do first take the type 2b supergravity and expand all the Kaluza-Klein mode and around this, for example, in the n equal 4 super Yamilis case, S5 cross it is 5, and then you compute the global Hamilton, well, energy or global Hamiltonian, and then well, you can decompose all the representations under the S of 2 gamma 4, and then you can compute this index. And similar things should be done for this kind of proposed non-relativistic ADS-CFT correspondence background. But, well, the Kaluza-Klein, first of all, Kaluza-Klein decomposition is very tedious in this background and because of the lack of symmetries. And, but in principle, you can do that. But, yeah. And also, one subtle point is that boundary behavior is drastically modified because of this, to break this relativistic invariance to the Galilean invariance or Schrödinger invariance. So the GKP within the shock prescription might be not valid in this kind of stuff. So, well, I don't know whether you can do the similar stories, but in principle you can do it. Yes.
So I guess, is there something special about Laughlin's wave function that you picked on this? I mean, given the sort of non-relativistic ADS,
okay,
CMT correspondence that people have been thinking about, you might take sort of lots of different condensed matter systems, look at some gravity dual, and talk about the geometry of that.
Right.
But, I mean, I know this wasn't totally serious, but, I mean, was it
not totally serious, but I admit that. But, well, one connection is that we have some Chan-Simon scale theories, which is realized by the M2 brain stuff. So if you have a dual gravity description of this M2 brain systems, at least, well, and furthermore, in the non-relativistic limit, if you can take it, then such a, well, maybe.
You're saying this should be the ground state wave function?
Yeah, this is the ground state wave function for the Chan-Simons matter theories. So, another interesting stuff, well, this is proposed to be a ground state wave function, but it is actually not. It's a kind of approximation. So, well, because they consider the bosonic case, so everything is complicated. But if you study some supersymmetric generalization of such a stuff, then this might be an exact, I don't know, but there might be a hope that this kind of stuff can be obtained as an exact solution of the Chan-Simons matter theories. So maybe it's interesting to study supersymmetric Chan-Simons matter theories and itself.
And are condensed matter theorists interested in the sort of large and non-abelian versions of this?
I don't know. in the condensed matter theory, then this U1 gauge theory is a real U1 just electromagnetic field, so it's not totally obvious whether you could generalize it to UN gauge theories, but maybe, well, if you somehow have connection, various connections or something like that which appear, it's
in general abelian. Short assignments theories in connection with certain quantum Hall states, I don't know exactly if that's the same framework. But.
No, I don't think so, but yeah.
Thank you.